Today I want to talk about how to receive. How to receive. And we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And see, Jesus did not speak in English. The Bible was written, he actually probably spoke in the Greek of the day. It's not the Greek that is written now. And so people heard Jesus and were not changed. Hearing the word does not change you. You can sit in this church for 50 years and not be changed. You can be changed on this sermon and not that sermon. So here is God in the flesh speaking, and they weren't changed. Now, we talk about the glory, and we're for the glory of God, but Lucifer was in the glory, yet he fell away. The glory is not going to keep you. There's people that have been in revivals, Pensacola, Vancouver, the glory, and they're no longer serving God. Lucifer, see, God gives you the power of choice. Love is not love if you cannot choose it. God did not make robots. Animals move by instinct, but he only made man and woman in his image because God chose Earth. Of all the planets, he chose Earth. You're not a frog. You're not a dog. You are a person. And that's what makes people the same that serve your table or the CEO. They have the same value to God because they are made in his image. Before a baby is born, it's not a fetus. It's made in his image. And so what the Bible says, you knit me in the womb. And so man comes along and slaps the hands of God and removes from what he's making in the womb. We will all stand and give an account for our life. If you are a Christian, there's two judgments. You are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You are not judged. Your works are judged. It's very different. But I want to talk about the parable of the sower. It's a common parable. Kirk's mentioned it. Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand all theirs. But we're going to learn how to receive. Because in the English, it's just receive. But it's in the Greek, it's not receive like a bill. You receive a bill and you file it away. So the Bible says, and I'm just going to read a little bit. And so just, I know it's a lot of scripture, but it's not as much scripture as we should have during the week. Amen. And I pray that this is not the only time you hear the word. Because if it is, you will not fulfill your destiny and you will not know him. We do not read this word to know information. Scribes and Pharisees could repeat great portions of scripture. But it was the blind person on the side of the road that said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic term. And so the scribes and Pharisees knew the scripture, but the blind man knew who Jesus was. So we need to know who Jesus is. And everything reveals Jesus in this book. From Genesis to Revelation, it's not the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants to reveal himself to us, and he did it through his son. So the parable of the sower, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching. So Jesus is on the boat speaking. Your voice is amplified over waters, and so they're all listening to Jesus, but many walked away unchanged. And then, so you have the people that say, Hosanna, 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 and then less than a week later, they say, crucify him. Because we are very circumstantial. What do you mean, John? The Israelites, they came out of the Red Sea, they sang a song, the horse and the riders thrown into the sea, but then when they had no water, they said, Moses, are you trying to kill us? We forget, we file away, we have a circumstantial God. It's like, oh, I got a blessing. God was so good. Next day, tire's out. God, why did you do this? We're up and down. And, you know, we quote through scriptures like, I can do all things. Paul was writing in prison, and he was in prison. And Daniel was castrated, and Jeremiah was in a pit. And Joseph, and we have about an international nation. You will go through trials and tribulations. In fact, the word is going to give it. He said, listen, very rarely will you see a parable that starts with an exclamation point. Jesus said, listen, or escuchen me, as in Mexico where I go. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it didn't have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And then Jesus said to him, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. How many want to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold? Amen? We want to be the good. So then but he was alone. Those around him with the 12 asked him the parable, and he said to him, see, they asked. They didn't go away confused. They asked. And so when you're close to Jesus, you can ask him things, and the Holy Spirit will share things with you. And he says, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. How many wants to know the mystery of the kingdom? Not just hear the words, but to know the mystery. But to those outside of parables, and he said, Jesus said this, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Kirk's mentioned in his teaching, it all hinges on this, how we receive the word. And these are the ones, so Jesus began to say, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, where they hear Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are, Jesus breaks in another gospel, they don't understand. If you don't understand something, you can research it. Not just, I don't understand it. If it's important to you, you're going to understand it. Some of you go online to save a dollar or a coupon or like, hey, buy one, get one free. But yet we hear the word of God. I don't understand it. Then we go away. You can Google the Greek and the Hebrew. I was not raised a Christian. My friend, Kevin Coons, came to me and says, do you want to be a Mormon? Before Google, before phones, I went home and I researched it. Why? Because I cared. And you research what you care about. It's just true. So they didn't understand it. We don't understand hard sayings, walked away. Jesus, God in the flesh, heard the words, all heard the sermons. Doesn't matter if it's Reinhard Bunke, Billy Graham, or you preaching the gospel, same message, same word, different soils, different hearts, different responses, different thoughts. And then people drive away from church and go, well, the music's loud or this is that. And we look, instead of going, God, what are you saying to me? We major on the minors, and I'm not saying this church, I'm saying in general, we cannot stumble over little things. People say, oh, you know, the Gospels, there's different versions. It contradicts itself. No, it doesn't, because if that shows you how it's not copied word for word, because it's different people looking at different versions and stuff. And so what did Jesus say? He said all of it. But this one's remember this, and this remember that, and this remember this. I mean, we can all go to, you know, Main Event, and the next day, what did you get out of it? What did you get out? Oh, you played games. There's games, bowling. Well, it was all there. Amen? All right, don't yell, John. Don't yell. You scare him away. Then these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now notice Jesus said the word, not the gospel. This is not just relating to the gospel. This is relating to the word of God. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. That means word. Now, I know I love prophecy. I love the prophetic. God gives you a prophetic word. But it does not say live from prophetic word to prophetic word to prophetic word. God has a lot of things to tell you that's never been in a prophecy. He has many things to say to you. In fact, Jesus said, I have many things, even when he was on earth, but you cannot handle them now. We need to be able to grow up to handle what he says, many things, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, the Bible even says Joseph was tested for the word's sake. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Notice Jesus said other, not sinful. Now, we know sinful and bad. He's just other things. When I was in high school, they had this class called agriculture class, and people took it. Like the low people with the bad grades always took it because it was easy. Everybody's going to pass ag class. So Mr. Hall, he was up there. I'll never forget Mr. Hall. He was missing a finger. And the kids would pick on him, but I love Mr. Hall. I would talk to him. My dad was a farmer. So he goes, there's an award for $100. So I won that award because, you know, I just love Mr. Hall. But he would, on the first day of class, he would go, is a tomato plant a weed? I'll never forget it. No, it can be. A weed is a plant out of place. So if you are growing corn and there is a tomato plant next to your corn, it's a weed. Our problem is we look at the tomato and say it's good, but God says it's out of place. It's supposed to be over here. Why is it out of place? Because it's too close to the corn. So what happens is we let other things, Jesus said other things. He didn't say bad things, sinful things, other things, just other. And it crowds out the nutrients because the soil of your heart only has so much soil. You have one heart, you have one life. And the nutrients does not drag away 100 feet. It drags there. So the weed comes, the tomato plant comes. The tomato plant's good, but it's not it's another thing. God says, I'm trying to grow corn here. It's another thing. And all your time on social media, your relationship, your four-hour phone call that you thought was so good, it was another thing. Even though it was good and you counseled them, it was another thing. So those other things are crowding the good things, and Jesus says other things. And I think most Christians will go there. It's other things that choke the word, and it takes the nutrients away. Mr. Hall was right. It can be a weed, a plant out of place. So what is in our life out of place that's too close to what God wants to grow in our life? So, now see, and then we get to the deceitfulness of riches. Riches have a deceitfulness. Riches are not bad. If you travel, you understand poverty is a curse. If you go talk to Kim, no, poverty is not a blessing. It's a curse. It's a curse. The poverty came after the fall, not before the fall. And so God did not create poverty. Satan created poverty because poverty takes from people. But there's a deceitfulness in riches. Is some of the deceitfulness is you're here and they're there and your goal. That's why someone asked me, they go, John, why are so many movie stars and celebrities? Why do they take depression and why do they have? So someone just asked me that. I just out of my mouth, I'm like, when you have everything and you still aren't happy, then what? Because riches do not make you happy. And they're not going to make you sad, but they're not going to make you happy. So the middle class is working to be rich, and they're working and working and working. But when they get there, it's not always what they thought. And so God wants us to understand what riches are for. It's a weapon and it's a tool. We're not going to take it with us, but it's for other people, not just for us. God wants you to have enough of what he's called you to do. Not everybody's called to be a millionaire. Who wants to be a martyr? God has many things. Right? Many things. No hands. No hands, Chris. Many things. Not everybody's called to be a millionaire, but we are all called to not have debt, not borrow a servant to the lender, all those things. Some of you are called to wealth. You don't even know it because your dad wasn't wealthy. Your mom wasn't wealthy. They didn't have businesses, but God comes along, shares a prophetic word, but the soil cannot receive it. It was the same seed, but it was different soil, different hearts. And so there's people that have words about going to the nations and they never go to the nations like him. The prophetic word over your life is God's intention. But we have to be intent on his intention. Choke the word. But these are the ones sown on good ground who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, the center of the message. How to receive. Now, in English, it's receive. In Greek, it's a compound word. It's a word, it's two words. It means close by and welcoming. So it's not just receive. When they say there's healing in the room, well, that's just a general word. When you bring it close to you and you welcome that word, then it bears fruit in your life. And no longer it's just some word for everybody, it's a word for me. The gospel is for everybody. But when you welcome it and bring sight, and actually that's Parakletos, like the Holy Spirit, one who walks alongside you. It's the same first word, para, alongside, next to you. What do you mean that's walking with you? That means when God says, and when I say word, I'm not talking about prophetic word. I'm talking about the words in here. I'm talking about the word he speaks to when you're driving or alone or sitting at his feet. Some of you never had the love from a father, and God says, I love you. So then the voice comes and says you're not accepted, but the one that's walking alongside you also has a voice, and when we let him speak, he says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope, and he wants to cancel out that orphan spirit that some of us have grown up with, and so we are always trying to look for approval, and so the girl who didn't grow up with loving father, the first guy that comes along, she thinks it's love, it's just affection, he just wants sex or attention, so she receives it as love. Then the boy always wants approval, am I accepted? And when we walk with the word, and it's next to us, and we welcome it, and we don't receive it like a bill. I can receive money from Alan, put it in my pocket, put it in the dresser, forgive it. That's not the word. That's in English, but that is not in Greek. It is next to welcoming way. When you welcome something, you make room for it. We have to make room for the words of God. We have to make room for it. It's not just thank you, Jesus, for the letter and shut the door. We have to bring inside. You ever been in someone's house and you don't feel welcome? They got plastic on the couch, plastic on the pictures. It's like, don't touch this. But I've been to Cammies and Sabatas and Courts and some of your houses. It's very welcoming. They make room. When you make room for Jesus, that means you give him food out of what you have. That means you make room for the couch. And so it's a welcoming way. If we don't welcome the word that he speaks, and I'm talking about every word, not just any word, some word, your word, he has a plan for your life. But we don't know all the things. And it's not just at the end, like, God, did I do everything? No, dude, I know you. did I know you? There's so many people that do things for God way more. The scribes and Pharisees were in the service of the ministry, but they did not know him. That was their full-time job, friends. Praying, giving, judging, hating. But the word made flesh standing in front of them. They did not know him. Jesus is the word made flesh. And when we know him, we can recognize what he speaks. And the Bible says out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword. That word in the Greek means two mouths. It takes two mouths to wield that sword. The Father and the Son wield it. That means when he speaks a word over your life, you have to speak what he speaks, and then you can wield the sword. Because if it was all up to God, there'd be no hungry kids. If it was all up to God, there would no be kids on that table that need sponsorship. But we have a response to that. So we walk out there, God, which kid do you want me to sponsor? He's very intentional and very specific. It's not just, I'm going to sponsor it because Kim was here. No, God, what kid do you want me to have an intention in his life? He's very, very, very intentional. He placed Jesus in the household of Joseph and Mary. They were poor. How do you know they were poor? Because when you give offerings, when the firstborn is son, you give a lamb. But if you're poor, you bring a turtle dove. What did Mary brought? She brought a turtle dove. So he brought him in a poor house, not a rich house. It wasn't a scribe's house. It wasn't a Pharisee's house. It was a working man's house. Carpenter is actually a bad word. He was actually with his hands. And so Jesus worked with his hands and his father worked with his hands. So where God placed it, but we despise the day of small beginnings and go, that's not God. And we judge many things by the word, but we need to make room for him. God, we make room for him, not judging on the first appearance, not judging on the seed, because the Bible says it was a seed as a mustard seed. And Jesus goes on to explain the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, small, but it grew up large. And so we want this happened big and that to happen big and this and this and this. But are we willing to take the seed, what he first speaks? I'm called to the nations. Yes, Lord. I don't know what nations. I don't know when, but I receive it. I'm going to welcome it. It's going to walk next to me. So when I walk, it's with me and it has a voice. It has a voice. That means when something contrary comes against it, Holy Spirit, what do you say? Parakletos, one to walk aside you. Because Jesus was with the disciples. He ate with them and he loved them and he guided them. And he goes, it's good that I go away. Why? Not because the Holy Spirit is better, because he was contained in a body. So when Jesus died, the veil was ripped. Not so we could go in, so God could go out. And so he went out to all people that would receive him. The Bible says to all who receive. Jesus said, here's to hear. So receive is not like, just, oh, I got it. Receive healing in the room. I receive. What does that mean? Sparta talked about it. Nina talked about it. Alan talked about it. Courtney talked about it. If there's healing in the room and you receive it and you bring them next to you, that means when you walk out and you still have that pain, what you brought next to you and welcome, you have to let that speak. So we think it's always instant. God, what do you say? God, what do you say? The doctor said this. The banker said that. I can't get approved. Can't get a loan. Can't do this. Can't get a house. Can't do this. President said this. CNN said this. Fox said this. Whatever your views are, God, what do you say? God, what do you say? See, Satan quoted scripture out of context. He knows more scripture than all of us put together. Yet, he didn't know who Jesus was. Not really. Because the Bible says if they really knew who he was, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Because Satan thought he was putting Jesus to an end, not realizing that was the whole purpose of God. So if God can fool Satan through the scripture that it was written and blind his eyes, he can open your eyes. So he can open. So don't think, oh, Satan's so powerful. As we walk with God, friends, there is nothing that can come. Adversity will come. Trials will come because of the word's sake. And that means the promises over your life are going to have adversity. Not everything is dandy. You're going to have delays, sweating. I remember the first time I went to Colombia, I was so tired, drained spiritually after that. There was demonic attacks sometimes and all these things. And if we go, oh, that's too hard. David Hogan goes to Mexico, adversity. What? The word. Some of you, Satan is afraid of, so he wants to stop you before the seed becomes to a plant. Because there's one thing Satan knows that we don't. You were born, you have a life, but Satan's seen it all. He's seen a little shepherd boy not chosen as king, knock down Goliath and become the greatest king besides Jesus. He saw an orphan girl become a queen, Esther. He saw a nation. He saw Abraham's dad going. See, a lot of people don't know this. I was talking to someone last week. Abraham's dad was actually going to where God called him to go, but the Bible says he settled there. Then God spoke to Abraham, get up from the place where you're at, because there's some things generationally that have stopped. And God said, Abraham, get up from the place where you're at to the place I'm going to show you. Abraham's dad was actually going there, Lena, but he settled there. And so what we settle is because we want comfort. The Israelites want comfort. We want comfort. We don't want trials and tribulations. We need to expect it for the word's sake. They're going to come. It doesn't mean, oh, I expect bad things, just adversity. I went to war as two or three times, and then the third time I went, this was when I started going years ago to the youth, the third time I went, as soon as I crossed, there's a line. I talked about this before. It says the U.S. border and Mexico border. I crossed the bridge. They told you it's going to take about 15 minutes. It took me about 3 minutes to walk. I walk fast. I'm like, it didn't take me no 15 minutes. I'm up. As soon as I crossed the border, all these thoughts came. Some of them were conversations I have with Christians. John's unsafe. Didn't you read the news? All these fearful things. But then I rebuked it in a way. I was happy. Why? Because I knew I was making a difference. The fact that he was attacking me shows I'm making a difference. So when you get attacked, you can't go, oh my gosh, I'm getting attacked. Jesus was attacked, but he set his face like flint. That people tried to persuade him even to a more comfortable life. You don't have to die, Jesus. Sounds good. Other things. Other things. Yeah, we have a big ministry, Jesus. Look at all these people. Other things. God, what other things in our life have crowded out the good thing? What weeds are choking the soil? What tomato plants have? There's over 8,000 species of weeds. If it was a weed, we'd recognize it, but it's a tomato plant, so it seems good, but it's another thing because it's taking nutrients from the great things, what God's called you to do. Some of you have to snip relationships. I'm not looking at anybody here. I'm not telling anybody to break up with everyone. But what happens is other things choke out his things. And so when we welcome the word, receive, in the Greek, receive, welcome. And then, everybody say, and then, hear the suspense. In another gospel, it says, understand. Another one, it says, hold or keep the word. And it actually means in the Greek, keep secure, detain, restrain, meaning don't let it go. And so what is it, John? It's all three. It's understand. It's welcome. It's make room. It's alongside. And it's once we have it alongside, we restrain it, meaning we don't let it go. What have we let go of that he has spoke years ago? What have we let go of because of trials or tribulations? And that's all we see. The Israelites, everything was at the moment. I'm thirsty. Moses came to kill us. Moses was gone a long time. Where's Moses? Let's build a calf. That's what the Egyptians did. One of the things they did was worship the calf. Bake this golden calf. You brought us out of Egypt. Why? Because I want something I can see. Because if I don't see it, I don't trust it. But faith many times is you don't see it. You don't trust it. You don't feel it. You went to church. Everybody goes, oh, I was in the glory. You don't feel him. But you know, God, what you said, your word is true. It's not because I feel it. It's not because I feel anointing. Satan was in the glory, but yet he was deceived and he left. Friends, the glory is not going to keep you. It's knowing him. That means when you don't feel him, when everybody around you is shaking, when they're crying and on the floor, his word is still true over your life. It's true on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It's true when you don't feel loved by your dad. I was not raised a Christian. My dad hated I was a Christian. But listen to me. God did not ask my dad, can I call John? His call over your life doesn't need agreement with anybody else but you, Kim. That's the only person. And as we walk, and so we elevate these people, Daniel and this. He was a eunuch. He was castrated. Read about all the people, all the trials and the hell they went through to bring the word true. But then there's a resurrection. See, in America, God is not an American. He sees the whole world. Comfort is our king. Really. That's why many people want to become rich so they don't have to worry about finances. Now, God doesn't want us worried about finances, but when I get there, that's my security. Friends, before you're rich, even though your bank account, he is your security. When he becomes your security, then your job's not your source. He's your source. Then when Peter comes to Jesus, do we pay taxes? He didn't say, go see Judas. Judas stole. That's not my source. He said, go fishing. I made the water. I made the fish. And so I brought the coin, the first coin. He has sources you do not know of. But unless we talk to him, Peter had to go to Jesus and talk to him. No other but 12 disciples, only one's taxes were paid that way because he asked. He went to Jesus one-on-one. Guess what? Jesus is not walking the earth in the flesh. He's at the right hand of the Father praying, but we have the Paracletus, one like him, just the Holy Spirit, everything. So, Lord, I thank you that we welcome you and we make room for you, God. We sing about it. We make room for you, but God, we make room for every word that you speak. I want to say this over people that are 50. I'm over 50, so what up? I look good, right? I feel like God wants to give you a commission. I know we pray for young people a lot, and we talk about young people, Lord, but I just thank you for the people over 50, God. I just thank you for commissioning, God. I just thank you for a new commissioning and a new awakening on some of the gifts, talents, words. God, I thank you that they have a purpose. God, I thank you it's bigger than they thought. Some of you are going to release more money than you thought. Some of you are going to go on trips you didn't think. Some of you are going to love the young people like you didn't think. Lord, I thank you. You're the God of Abraham. You're the God of Isaac. You're the God of Jacob. You're a generational God. There's no generation you miss. You want everybody. You want every child. You want every refugee camp. You want every orphan. You want every widow. There's people in convalescent homes that are saints that God, that people have forgot, but God hasn't forgot. Lord, I thank you. Whatever you've called us to do, I thank you for the commissioning of the people. It's not a wait and watch life. It's an enter and see what God has to do. And maybe you don't work that job anymore. You retire from the job, but you never retire from the kingdom. I've been to the store before. Put this in my notes because I remember I bought these tomatoes. They look so good. I got home, they were tasteless. They had no taste. You know why? Because the soil was depleted. The soil matters. It's the same seed, different soil. Jesus had the same sermon, the same message. Some walked away. If you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. Walked away. Same message. And the Bible says many quit following him from that day. So we love that you gave us the bread and you multiplied and you healed. But following you that way, I'm good. Because it doesn't bless my life on the surface. The multiplying the food did. The healing did. The call did. Apostles, disciples. But not that. So Lord, I thank you. We are people that comfort is not our God. Yes, you want to bless us and help us and stuff. But God, we know that when you give us a word, there will be adversities and trials and troubles. But that does not tell us that you're not with us. Actually, you're with us in the storm. And we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And the only reason there's a shadow is there's a light. If there is no shadow, there's been, so Lord, you are the light even in the shadow. We walk through whatever you've called us to do and be and have. And Lord, I just thank you for the healing in this church, the water table rising. There's certain cities and certain places that have a higher water table. I thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles, God. Not just in this place, but as we leave. You know, in the book of Revelation, the first one's thrown in the lake of fire where the Bible says the cowards. Lord, we are not cowards. We are willing to pray and speak your name, and we're not afraid of the gospel. We're not ashamed of you. Jesus, we will be associated with you in your pain, in your love, in your mercy, and your goodness, God. I thank you, Lord, as we go out, Lord, that you will have compassion on the people, and we won't just soak a blessing, but we will release what you've given us to do, Lord. So we receive the word. Those that hear, welcome it, bring it alongside with them, walk with it, and don't let it go, bear fruit. Every other seed doesn't bear fruit. They all heard. Some were happy for a while. It was a good service. I had a good week. I had a good year. Oh, I got a bad doctor report. Paracletos, the one that's walking alongside me, what do you say? You have to listen to God. I know someone, and this is, she had breast cancer. She's on the table. And the doctor is coming in to do surgery, and God says, get up. She got up, says, I'm not doing it. Checked her out later, she was healed. Why? Because she was listening to prayer. Does that mean that's what you should do? No, I mean you should listen. That's why we can't give this. That's why there's no book about mud in your eyes to be healed from your eyes. That's why there's no formula. There's principle, but there's no formulas. Jesus, how do you heal? How do you want to heal this one? And I say this, it's not just physical healing, it's emotional healing. Anger, bitterness, frustrations, what dad did, what some people close to did, and all those things. Because God sees the whole body. And we could be healthy on the outside, but have things on the inside. So, Lord, I thank you for healing every area of our life. You bind up the brokenhearted, and you're near them, God, and you're near those that are wounded, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, we are not afraid to enter into your compassion and your brokenheartedness over things. We will weep when you weep. We will laugh when you will laugh. We will have your joy, God, but I thank you, Lord. We may cry in the night, but joy comes in the morning, God, and everything we give you, even our tears and our pain, come back. Blessed in Jesus' name, amen.